Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:29 British Summer Time. Today is July 10th. And today was perhaps a day where banks dominated the headlines. In China, we continue to see evidence of a slowdown in the economy. And that raises the possibility that the PBOC will have to lighten up on its tightening, which is perhaps better for the banking sector than it has been. And the bank sector had a good rally in here today, and the A shares found support above their most recent low. So this is the first higher reaction low in China, and that's particularly relevant considering the size of the decline that it's had in the last 2 months. And this is also in the region of a previous area of support. So it's in the type of area we would expect to see some form of demand coming back into dominance. And in Europe, despite protestations at the time that the Cyprus solution wasn't going to be a template, what we're now seeing from the powers that be within Europe and actually against the objections of Germany is that future bailouts will be very much along the lines of the Cypriot solution. And that means that shareholders, bondholders, and of course depositors in those banks will become most liable, and it will free up governments from the obligation of bailing out their respective banking sectors. It means that Europe is moving one step closer to a European version of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and that's one of the necessary organs for a federal state. And I don't think it needs to be stated, but it is looking increasingly likely that the solution for Europe is going to be a federal state, and we're moving step by step closer to that type of solution. Quite when they're going to come up with a growth strategy is probably another subject entirely. And in the US today, it was really quite interesting in the banking sector that some of the larger banks, and particularly those with prop desks, are going to be forced to hold more capital. And one might argue as to why they wouldn't be compelled to hold more capital already. But what it does mean is that that does give a competitive advantage to some of the regional banks who won't have to hold quite as much capital because they're not taking quite as many risks. And the regional banks generally are probably a better bellwether for the health of the domestic economy. And the fact that they were able to break up out of a 3 to 4 year range in the last couple of months and have been extending that advance in the last 2 weeks is by and large rather positive outcome. When we look at what's been happening in stock markets in here today, it was a generally quiet day. The majority of Asian markets had found at least short-term support. And the Indonesian market, which has been among the weakest, has firmed in the region of its June low. It's really going to have to do substantially more than that to convince people that demand is returning beyond the very short term. And it's a pretty similar story for a number of those ASEAN markets. When we look at Europe, there was a reasonably mixed performance, with the Dutch market being among the strongest rebounders so far, and it was up by an additional 0.5% in here today, while the FTSE was down very slightly. And one of the standouts for its decline was the Austrian market. And that was largely because of OMV, which I think is Eastern Europe's largest oil company, having some difficulty in Libya. And that market was really quite weak and pulled right back to touch its recent lows. And when we look at Wall Street in here, the S&P 500 is hovering here in the region of 1650 and closed out the day pretty much unchanged. And pretty similar with the Dow Jones, whereas the Nasdaq was stronger by about 0.5% on the composite. 1650 is a rather interesting level for the S&P 500 because it represents the short-term progression of lower rally highs. We've had a good bounce from having unwound the vast majority of its overextension relative to the 200-day moving average. Looking at the shape of the pattern and the speed with which we've had the market rally over the last 7 or 8 months, it does look that like we're going to have some additional ranging. But as I've been pointing out in comment of the day over the last 2 and 3 days, there are an increasing number of companies that are breaking out to new all-time highs. And that is also an indication of the type of market that we've moved into. Over the 3 and 4 years from 2008, we had these monochromatic moves where just about everything advanced and everything declined at the same time. And that has definitely changed. And there's been a lot of evidence of that in the last 4 or 5 months. And the fact that we are seeing now some clear outperformance in some sectors and others underperforming is a sign of relative health returning to the stock market and less of an overall influence from the machines. Perhaps also interesting in here is the government bond markets, where UK gilts and German bunds prices have been rallying over the last couple of weeks, and they've rallied more than other markets globally, whereas US treasuries have been reasonably steady, and they were actually a bit weaker in here today by about almost a full, well, 2/3 of a point. And I guess the reason why gilts and bunds are rallying in here is because of continued stress in Europe, and they represent some of the stronger markets within Europe if one is a euro investor. But when we look at the continued weakness in US treasuries, and even though there is still really quite a large degree of debate as to exactly what is going to happen with the Fed's tapering, and I've seen more than a few commentators doubting whether it's going to occur at all. And that type of speculation is probably feeding through into the strength in the stock market that we've had on Wall Street, but also the strength of the dollar over the last few weeks. And the dollar is a little bit overbought at present, and that is beginning to be unwound. So the yen was stronger by almost a full yen in here today, and the euro was stronger by a full cent, and the pound has firmed in the region of $1.49. There is the capacity for some additional weakness by the dollar in the short term. But when we look at the currency situation globally, then by process of elimination, the US dollar is the currency that is likely to be most favored over the medium term. And that does suggest that Wall Street has, among its other competitive advantages, a currency advantage that it really hasn't had for really quite some time. And against that background, the fact that the dollar is a little bit overbought and could pull back has been a bit of a tailwind for the commodities in here. And palladium was stronger by an additional $15 in here today. It's back above 700. And this is really quite an impressive rebound from the lower side of its range. Platinum was relatively unchanged. Gold is continuing to hold in this 1250 level, but really needs to do a lot more to really encourage people back into that market. And oil, where we've seen this spread between Brent and WTI contracting, not least because of the, while there are difficulties in exporting natural gas from the USA, there are no difficulties in exporting oil. And the supply bottleneck at Cushing has been unwound, and that has made US oil fungible on the global market, and that is allowing that spread to contract between Brent and WTI. And we're seeing both contracts moving higher in here, and both are in a backwardation, which means that the short, the near end futures are at a higher price than further out futures, and that's right across the curve. It would suggest that not only is there some short term anxiety about exactly what is going to happen in Egypt, but that there is a tight situation in global oil markets at present, despite the widespread perceptions that we've got a slowing global economy. And in the absence of a downward dynamic, we'd really have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.